Welcome to the Musician-Centric Podcast. We are two freelance violists living and laughing our way through conversations that explore what it means to be a professional musician in today's world. I'm Steph.
And I'm Liz. And we're so glad you've joined us. Let's dive in.
Well, here we are, continuing our Mozart and the Jungle journey.
Yep.
This is episode 4. Touche, maestro. Touche. That was the title.
I didn't know. I was glad you got the title. I never pay attention.
I do. I'm constantly pausing and looking at people's names, characters' names, and actors' names.
That's so smart.
And yeah, recordings, and it takes me a while to get through an episode.
Right away. Mm. I was just very excited about Dermot Mulroney. Who actually plays cello, right? He does actually play the cello. Yes. I thought that I remembered this as a detail in his life. And then he played and I was like, I mean, he looks like he knows what he's doing. So.
Yes. I said actually faking pretty convincingly. Yeah. So we open up and it's a concert and he's playing. So his character's name is Andrew Walsh, Dermot Mulroney, and he's a cellist and he's playing this Lalo. I don't know what the piece is.
I think it's the Lalo Cello Concerto.
Mm-hmm. Cello Concerto.
Yeah,
okay.
I think he wrote at least one.
Yeah. So anyway, the cello playing is very convincing.
Yeah, he looks like he knows what he's doing.
It was really nice.
It was really nice. And also, for those of us who are of a certain generation, like, are we absolutely in love with Dermot Mulroney from My Best Friend's Wedding?
Yes. We love him.
Except... as a feminist now rewatching that, I'm kind of like, oh, this movie's annoying. But.
Yes. He was still very nice to look at.
Yeah, he's very nice to look at.
Still.
And still very nice to look at. Yeah, he's aging well, as they say.
Yeah, that's okay for men, right?
That's right. Oh, so many tangents. Well,
speaking of men's... choices, fashion choices. The rat
it's
tail
still going strong.
Has multiplied. There are like 3 rat tails clipped to the back of Rodrigo's hair.
I don't know when this is going to be over, but
I wonder if they're just going to keep getting more and more.
Till it's a whole like head see if we of rat tails.
Ugh.
Please no.
Anyway, he does a stellar job and the audience goes crazy and He walks off stage with Rodrigo and makes a comment about Rodrigo's waistline.
Yes.
He's like, you've been eating too many cupcakes or something? Do guys do this to each other?
I know. I would be curious to know that too. I mean, who does that like out loud to anybody?
Yeah. And it's not like, I don't know if they're like really close friends. I was trying to figure out what the dynamic was.
They seem to be like... jovially ribbing each other in a way like that's like I don't think it's meant to be super mean, but it's certainly catty.
Yeah It's a little like alpha, right?
Yeah totally, which definitely makes sense. That's definitely two alphas going at it there. But Andrew knows everybody in the orchestra. He's like being real friendly with everybody. Obviously he's played there many times, and I love that he compliments the concertmaster on his playing. What's the concertmaster's name again? I always forget.
Warren.
God, I always forget his name. And the concertmaster goes, thanks. I've been focusing a lot on my bow technique. And we're like, okay, there's no way that 2 string players are professionals that someone would say that. You're like, you sound great these days, Liz. I'd be like, thanks. I've been focusing a lot of my bow technique.
There's also no way that one string player would say to another string player, your playing is supple. I don't think I've ever used that to describe anyone's playing. Oh,
but then for Didi, it's a bearded tsunami. He's a bearded tsunami. I got a lot of rage, Didi says.
Yeah.
I hear it. Yeah, there was a lot of like nice little shop talk there. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, and of course he... A guy of this caliber, a soloist of this caliber who's looks like he does, is quite a ladies man, shall we say.
Yep.
He knows all the ladies.
Yep.
And he immediately hones in on Haley.
Yeah, has to know her, of course. That's typical.
Yeah. Well, he recognizes her from her photos that are representing the New York Symphony.
Which, by the way, this is jumping ahead, but when you see the photo, it's like not that obvious that it's her. Like, it's a beautiful face, but you're like, like, there's no way he'd look at her and be like, oh, you're the one from the...
Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of got like kind of sleazy vibes from him right away.
For sure. And Cynthia had that look on her face that she knows what he's all about. Cynthia's probably been down that road before and she's like, not going to go down it. Yeah. But Haley's enamored and she says she's a bootleg version of this recording of something or other, which is hilarious. And then, at some point he said something about how her photo sexes up the entire operation, which that's when you really know he's a sleaze.
Yeah. Well, this is very, 2014, 2015?
So right around the time where we stopped being able to say these things. Right. And have it be okay. But he asks if either of them wants to go see Lang Lang play, which, you know, it's like, why wouldn't you, right?
I was also like looking at my watch. I was like, what time did their concert end? And where is Lang Lang
playing at 10:30 p.m.
after an evening symphony concert?
Such a good question. One that we find out later.
We do find out later. And yes, so I'm just going to say up front that I was like screaming this entire episode as all these cameos came up.
Yes.
So anyway, the next scene we see Gloria and Rodrigo outside after the concert. And I totally forgot that they were living together since Rodrigo got evicted from the condo. Yep. Too many goats.
Roomies.
Yeah. Yeah. They're friends. And I like it.
I know. I like it.
I like their dynamic.
Yeah, me too. They're like really, truly roommates, housemates right now. Yep.
Yeah.
Doing their thing.
Yeah. So then Thomas swings by in his limo and basically invites Rodrigo to hang.
Scoops him up. Yep.
Yeah.
Scoops him up, says, scoops let's him go up. Do something. We don't know where they're going. Now we get to go to the party. And Lang Lang is playing. He's playing ping pong.
They're at this bar.
Yep.
Oh, no. That doesn't happen until later.
Oh, I have that right after.
Are they? Oh, no. Andrew's schmoozing with the donors, right? And Haley interrupts.
Yeah. I didn't.
And she says there's a very important emergency photo shoot. She like snags him away. And then they met at the bar.
Yeah, I forgot the part where she steps in and takes him away from the donors.
Yeah.
Very forward move.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked it.
Yep.
I was there for
it
that.
It was good.
And then, they make it to the bar.
Right.
And Lang Lang is playing ping pong.
Ping pong. Yeah.
But who else is there?
Oh my God. Emmanuel Axe is there.
Emmanuel Axe is there.
Just like playing a video game by himself in the corner. Like, it's so fun. Hey, who's the guy with the blue glasses?
The guy with the blue glasses.
Yeah. Well, actually, we probably haven't shown that yet. I don't think we've gotten there yet.
Oh.
Never mind. We'll wait till the next scene.
This might be later because I know who that is.
Okay.
I think I know who that is.
Okay, good.
So anyway, it's a who's who
yes.
of the classical music world at this bar.
And Haley's part of it. And it looks like a lot of fun. Looks like a great time.
I wished I was
there. Yes, totally.
Yeah. So then we flash over to Thomas and Rodrigo, who are back at Thomas's apartment.
Yeah.
And they're looking for food. They're hanging out, doing what we all do typically after a concert.
Thomas is going through his divorce papers, which is, it's a good thing that he's got Rodrigo there to be hanging out because he calls it.
Yeah, he was just served.
Yeah, calls it a bittersweet symphony. And then Rodrigo goes, the verve.
The verve. That was a deep cut.
It was a deep cut. Also, just a funny reference, like just a.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a great song. Great song.
He calls it. I love this line. If this were a fugue, it would be a fugue of despair.
So depressing.
Yeah. So Maestro Thomas, he wants to drown his sorrows, but Rodrigo's like, wait, let's not go down this road. And he stops.
Let's go down a different road.
Let's go down a completely different road.
They step on each other's hands and something about stepping to the abyss. And I have to say, from I may or may not have some information related to this subject matter that happens at this night at this party. I won't go into too many details of that, but I will say that this thing that Rodrigo pulls out, it's like,
have you seen this before?
It's a gummy. It's essentially a gummy that looks like it's been just like kind of stuck together. And then there's like actual herb on the outside of it, which is very, very homemade. And he refers to it as resin. Oh. And resin is definitely a thing.
Okay.
It's like highly concentrated. So the fact that the two of them have this giant thing and then they split it, they basically eat the whole thing. I was thinking, well, they're going to be in for quite a ride.
There were mushrooms in that mix,
too. Yeah, he said there were mushrooms in there. There was, like, all kinds of things going on. And, yeah, it's. I mean, that's one way to have a night.
I mean, and they did.
They really did.
I'm so glad you filled me in because I looked at that and I was like,
what is this?
Is this a thing?
Yeah. It.
This looks terrible.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing and definitely
okay.
Very homemade.
Very homemade. Who knows
where he got
okay.
it? Did he say where he got it from? I can't remember.
No, I don't remember.
He probably got it from somebody like in a park somewhere.
Probably. Yeah, he does frequent the park.
So we're party hopping now. We're just the rest of the episode is party hopping, right?
It's so fun.
Yeah.
We are all busy, especially those of us who teach music. We give everything to ensure our students' abilities and love of music are always growing and developing. We want to make sure each one has the right setup and instrument, but we barely have enough time to practice for ourselves sometimes.
That's where Potter Violins can come in. Their sales team and technicians are also players and experts on all string things. You can send your students to try instruments, get properly sized, have their current instruments adjusted, or to pick out a new bow or other string accessory. You can have total confidence that they'll be taken care of. Potters will even ship what your students need anywhere in the United States.
So take one thing off your plate and send your students over to Potter Violins, no matter what they need. And Potter Violins loves teachers so much, they want to offer you a 10% teacher's discount because you deserve it.
Visit their flagship location in Tacoma Park, Maryland, their rental location in Gaithersburg, Maryland, or shop online from anywhere at pottervioolins.com.
Yeah, so then at this bar, this must be like a Dave and Buster's kind of situation because there's like bowling, yep. They're bowling, there's ping pong, there's like DDR. But I love this because Haley, Andrew, Long, and the guy, his name's Alan Gilbert.
Ah, okay.
He used to conduct the New York
film. Oh, okay. That's funny. Cool.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's not a New York classical musicians party if Joshua Bell doesn't show up.
I was just waiting for that, too. I was like, that dude is going to make an appearance.
He had to, right?
Yeah.
He had to.
Yeah.
But also,
he's always
okay,
down.
To flip this around, though, like, how cool was it for the classical musicians who are making cameos to be, like, hanging out with the actors and being on the TV show? You know, like, had to have been mutually, like, super fun. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, even if you were kind of famous in the classical music world, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be on TV. And you're getting, like, filming, blocking, and learning lines. And
Yeah. And, you know, this just makes me think of, you know, how this show was, like, made classical music kind of cool for a minute.
Yeah.
A minute.
Yeah, for a minute.
But that did not stick. So it's not little ploys like this that are going to bring classical music into the mainstream, right?
Yep, it's true. You know what's also funny to continue to remember is like anybody in our lives who asked us when they watched the show, like, is that what your life is like? And weirdly, sometimes yes. Like I can answer yes now sometimes.
Random things happen, sure.
Yeah, very funny. So back to the other party.
Yes. Oh, I have to just say that Emmanuel Axe was playing DDR and he was my favorite. He was my favorite. Did you ever play DDR, Dance Dance Revolution?
No.
Never?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this was a really fun game yes. where you actually had to like do the dance moves on the, oh my gosh, we had, we bought two mats for our Aww. House and played
That's
it.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
That's very fun.
It was a very fond memory that he was bringing back, Aww. But also he was just so deadpan and so funny.
The whole time.
Emmanuel asks, who knew?
Yeah. Right? There's always one guy at that party though that's like that, right? That's like, gotta yeah. do their thing. Super serious.
He was great. He was
it
great.
It was lovely. It was just so fun.
So yeah, then we go to the other
right.
party.
Right. Okay. I'm jumping around all over the place.
Yeah. So they're tripping.
Thomas they is saying, are... I don't feel anything. I don't feel, he's literally like melting onto the floor while he's saying, I don't feel anything. I have a huge tolerance. I'm Irish, blah, 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 or British or whatever. And Rodrigo's already made a tent out of like sheets and blankets.
They made a fort.
Yes. Somehow he's made a fort. I do love it. I love the whole conversation. They're just talking about like all these existential things and getting really deep with yeah. each other.
Yeah, this game that they were playing, I don't quite understand. They would like...
What's the point of the stop clock? Yeah.
Some
yeah.
kind of stop clock and ask each other a random question. And then the other one had to respond. Yeah. And I don't understand what the rules of this game
yeah,
are.
Yeah, like why did they have two separate game clocks? Like what was the... I don't either, but I mean...
I don't think that their characters really even knew
right,
either.
Right, because they're super high. So
they were so high.
Super high.
Yes, and they were getting very deep.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I liked Thomas's, like Rodrigo said, at what point did you become an adult? And he said, when I was born.
Yeah.
I understood that. Yikes. In a way, understood that, I feel like. But no, it was cool. It was like, yeah, they were just chilling, having a good time on their own, doing their own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we go back to the bar, and we see this montage of Josh Bell and the crew just partying it
having
up
a great
at
time.
The bar. And I wrote, this looks like the best hang.
Yeah, I think they were having a good time.
It looks like so much fun. I would love to do that.
Yep. And then we have a big plot development.
I know, I love this plot development.
Finally, we see Gloria sing for real.
They're finally putting Bernadette Peters
to work. They're finally putting Bernadette Peters to work. And she sings this saucy little number.
Uh-huh. Yes. Come on over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's at this, it must be like a open mic kind of situation. Yeah. She's at this bar, a very sexy little dimly lit bar.
That's right.
And so she puts her name on the list. We don't get to hear her sing mm-hmm. yet. Because we flash over to what Haley and Andrew are doing. And he's doing the very cliche painting F holes on her back.
Yeah, I wrote, how many women has he done that to?
Yes, seriously.
How many photos does he have on his phone of a woman's back with F holes on it?
He could have a whole montage.
He probably does.
Yeah. And he's way too good at that to this be his first.
That's
time.
Right. I'm not entirely sure she cares. I mean, I think she knew what she was up for, like in for. Yeah. So, you know, good for her. Like,
yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're back at Thomas's apartment where Rodrigo is kind of taking care of him. He puts a blanket over him because Thomas is passed out on the couch.
Yep.
And then Rodrigo's going to do a little light air conducting of the Lello.
Just a light, a little bit. In a fever dream where everybody's sitting in that room, but like the speakers are much bigger than them and like kind of trippy. Yeah.
Yeah. So he sees different sections intermittently just pop in front of him. So the oboe section and then the violin section.
Bob.
And then Bob. Yeah. The flutes and the timpani who always sit next to each other, by the way.
By the way.
In case you didn't know, that is 100% standard. And the very last flashback or his imagining is Haley, and she puts her oboe down. I don't know what this is supposed to symbolize. Mm. Like, I see you or I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. I don't know if he knows. I was curious about that. But
I mean, we know that they end up together. Just when does that happen and how?
Yeah.
So then we're back at Andrew's hotel or apartment, wherever he is. And this is where I realized, holy crap, Dermot Mulroney plays the cello for real, for real.
He can actually play the cello.
He can actually play, and not like at an elementary level. Right. Like, he can play pretty well.
Yeah, I think he does stuff. I think he does more stuff with like bands and things. I think he plays like non-classical stuff with it. I feel like, I don't know. I didn't bother to look it up. Maybe he has recordings somewhere. Who knows?
Yeah.
With a group.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
They're having a cute, sexy time.
Yeah. Yeah. Just having a good time. Just having a nice little dalliance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he does say something that's really interesting. He's reflecting on the difference between being a soloist and what Haley does, which is kind of in the bureaucracy of orchestra life. And I thought this was a really interesting, like, he's having a sliding doors moment. Yeah. Like, what would my life would have been like if I had gone down that road? Maybe it would have been easier, but I wouldn't be able to be the artist that I am today.
Yeah. Yep. I thought it was interesting.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. It felt very relevant.
Totally. Yeah. It's like the thing he said about you're always serving someone else's vision. I was like, yeah, we have that conversation a lot. And what does it feel like to, if your whole life is devoted for that as opposed to your own vision? And it's interesting to think about the sliding doors aspect of that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, I mean, even if that's what you choose, that's never going to be your whole life.
Right.
Right. You always have the opportunity or the ability to do something different with your own time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, that was very interesting.
It was nice.
And then we go over and we see Gloria perform at the sexy little club.
Yes, her little sexy little song.
And who's there?
Pavel!
Pavel with the bad whatever accent he is going for. What is that accent?
It's supposed to be some kind of Eastern European something or other.
Or like Russian or something.
Yeah, I assume it's supposed to be generic. Yes, some sort of.
Okay. Well then.
Eastern Bloc accent.
Kudos to him.
Yeah, but they have a moment.
Yeah.
She like goes up and sings to him and very saucy.
Yes. And later he says that it relaxes him to be around amateurs, which I thought was really cute.
Yeah.
He's around professionals all the time.
That's right.
But this somehow is, I don't know, he enjoys this
freer
time.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I know. I wonder what's brewing with the two of them.
I hope something.
Me too.
Something dimly lit and I don't know. Sultry.
Sultry. Can Bernadette Peters not be sultry?
No, she's so great.
It's in her DNA.
Yeah, it was like she just came alive when she was singing that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's her thing. Man, oh man.
And then we see that the orchestra is packing for their
tour. They're going.
And I loved seeing what people were putting in their suitcases. Did you notice?
No, I did not actually, to be totally honest. I must have had a moment, a distracted moment there.
Okay. Well, so Cynthia is putting off packing. She's just smoking a cig on her couch, like laying with her cello out, you know, like as we do. And then we flash over to someone's suitcase and it has drugs, like prescription drugs. And hand sanitizer, and it has toilet paper.
Right.
Just a whole suitcase full of that stuff. Because, you know, in South America, nair a toilet paper to be found.
Apparently. Like they're staying somewhere where it doesn't have toilet paper. I don't believe that. That's hilarious.
BYOTP.
Maybe that they have a special kind they need, you know, for sensitive skin, sensitive bottoms.
Well, it flashes out and you see that it's Union Bob who's packing all the TP and hand sanitizer.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then the very last scene that we see is pretty amazing. They're at the bar, which miraculously has like some kind of performance level piano. It's like a baby grand. That was not an upright piano.
No.
And Long Long is playing Brahms. Yeah. Very Hungarian.
Yep. I wrote encore.
Yes. While Haley just lounges sexily in the background.
I know.
Which was great. I was sitting there wondering. I was like, is she pretending to be Haley, or is she just sitting there enjoying this?
I got the feeling she was just sitting there enjoying it. It was like, it felt like an outtake thing. Like they're just hanging out afterwards. It just happened to be filmed. I'm sure they did it on purpose, but it felt that way. Like it was just because it was sort of after they wouldn't have been in the bar anymore. So it was like, yeah, it was literally like an outtake or an encore kind of thing that they just threw at the end, which I loved. I feel like it was genuinely the actress just being like, holy crap, I can't believe I'm sitting here watching this like up close.
Yes. Yeah.
That's very cool.
So I wonder what it was like. You said, I wonder what it was like for the classical musicians to be among all these actors. Yeah. What it was like for these actors
for sure.
to be among all these musicians.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was kind of shocked we didn't see Josh Bell like whip out his violin and like do a hoedown with Long Long or something.
Well, they already paid him to do that at the beginning of the series.
Oh, that's right. He played the Tchaikovsky.
They could only shell out money for one huge soloist in a season or something.
I wonder if they did it for free.
Probably
a nominal fee.
Yeah, I doubt it. I bet an agent negotiated something for them.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But anyway, I loved it. It was a very entertaining episode.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
It was not as cringy as previous ones.
100% true.
Yeah.
Fascinating to see what tour is like.
Yeah. Bring on the cringe. I'm sure we're going to see a lot of faking.
So much faking.
And fake South America.
Yep, here we come.
Like, what's the most South America part of the Bronx we can find to film in? What LA set can we make look like South America?
Hilarious.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Thank you so much for listening today. If you loved this episode, consider writing us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Thanks also to our season sponsor, Potter Violins.
If you'd like to support the podcast and get access to bonus content, consider joining our Patreon community.
You can buy all your musician-centric merch, including shirts, water bottles, koozies, and a variety of other fun items.
Our theme music was written and produced by JP Wogan and is performed by Steph and myself.
Our episodes are produced by Liz O'Hara and edited by Emily McMahon.
Thanks again for listening. Let's talk soon.